Welcome to Making America Strong Again, the only program dedicated to inspire you and to inspire a nation with stories of American exceptionalism and national restoration. Join fellow patriots as we rediscover our past, reignite our future, and celebrate America now.
Well, welcome to today's program. This is Steve Olds, hosting from our home station in Vero Beach, Florida. For those of you that are listening on our iHeart Radio Network, we welcome you. And for those who are joining our Patriot Podcast, we appreciate your time and attention as we celebrate what makes America great. This is National Small Business Week. And for those of you that are in the small business industry, perhaps you've heard about it. It's been promoted throughout the Small Business Administration and many organizations across the country to lift up and raise awareness of the work that goes into running a small business. For those of you that aren't in small business, you may not know about the celebratory activities that are going on. And today we're going to spend a little time drilling down into small business, but not necessarily from the business aspect, but from the personal aspect. We're going to drill into the mind of an entrepreneur, which could be a scary thing depending on your perspective. But more importantly, we're going to understand some of the motivations and what makes people want to get up one day and decide to start a company. What's the passion behind it? What's the reason? There are a lot of myths in the marketplace about why entrepreneurs start companies. There are folks that have ideas, that are people that have started companies and why they've done it. There are also a lot of people out there who have actually not only started companies, but grown companies, built them, and sold them. But they are, in fact, the minority. There are many more people who have started companies, done their best to get them off the ground, and crashed and burned. As a matter of fact, most companies don't make it. Most small businesses don't make it a year, 3 years, or 5 years, never mind 10. So it's a challenging environment, and it's one that when we look at it from an individual perspective, you see it one way. When we look at small business and entrepreneurship, especially on its impact at the community level, we see it a little bit differently. Because small businesses, and more importantly, the people in the small business, the entity is one thing, the founders, their employees, and the families of everybody impacted by that small business can have a big influence on what happens in a local community. And then again, when we begin to look at the impact of the way small companies working together in harmony in a local community, what that impact can be. So think about this for a minute. Why should we care? Why should we care about the small business community? Well, do you know how many small businesses there are in America? Depending on which statistics you study, whether they're the Department of Labor or the Small Business Administration or some composite, the best estimate is that there are about 30 million small businesses operating in America. Now, sadly, based on the economic trends that we're seeing, the number of small businesses that are starting year after year after year is declining. And that's not good for America, but that discussion for another day. Of the 30 million small businesses that are operating in America, how many do you think are operated by a single person? Would it surprise you to know that 72% or 22 million of the 30 million small businesses in America are single person operations? 72%. Now ask yourself, how many people in America are directly impacted financially by small businesses? When you start to count the founders of those companies, the employees, and the 8 million companies that aren't single-person operations, and every one of the family members that are associated with those companies, you can begin to see the amount of impact small business has on America. What do you think it might be? 40 million? 50 million? 75 million people? It's not much of a stretch when you calculate the employees and all the family members of founders and of the employees themselves, it's safe to state that there's probably 75 million people in America, or approximately 20 to 25% of our population, that's impacted by small business. Making America strong again requires we take a critical look at what's working and what's not, and how we as a community can serve those small businesses, and as small business owners and employees, how we can serve our community. We call that a win-win proposition. And when we serve the community and the community serves us, collectively, we serve America. That's what Making America Strong Again is all about. It's not pointing fingers at the things that aren't working. It's looking at the value of what already exists and leveraging it so that we can come together and have a positive impact and inspire a nation about the things that are good about the country. And when you do that, you can then effectively work together to improve the areas that need help. So let's ask this question. Why does somebody start a company? Have you ever started one yourself? You ever thought about it? Scott Shane, in his book, The Illusions of Entrepreneurship, addresses one of the myths about why people start companies. A good friend of mine, Brian Nicholson, who is running a very innovative company in Georgia, shared this insight with me. One of the things we found out is that most entrepreneurs do not wake up one day and run to the garage with a big vision and dream about the future and how they're going to change everything about the world. Most people that start a company just want to work for themselves. They're just tired of working for somebody else. And in many cases, the industries that they pursue are standard, everyday operational activities, whether it's restaurants, whether it's working in the lawn and gardening industry, whether it is working in a hands-on career field, whether it is working in the technology field as a web programmer or perhaps a copywriter, whatever it happens to be. Most of the people that start a company have experience. They have the technical skill of working in that business. Michael Gerber, in his New York Times selling book, The E-Myth Revisited, talks about the entrepreneur beginning as a technician. In other words, that individual who has the technical capability to do a job in the marketplace and create value. And then what happens? As Michael puts it, he says, one day the technician has an entrepreneurial seizure, fires his boss, and then goes to work for a lunatic. Welcome to entrepreneurship. So when you think about what that looks like, you can imagine it, right? You've been at that place in your work, perhaps in the company for whom you work, and one day you decide, you know what? I'm done. I'm fed up. I'm not doing this anymore. And then you decide to go to work for a lunatic yourself. And the seduction of working in your own company, being able to call your own shots, being able to carve out your destiny in the beaches of the world. And more importantly, what that means to your family, because now all those grand visions of fun and excitement and cash flow and all the rewards that supposedly come with it begin to flutter through your mind. And all of the things that you don't like about working for somebody else suddenly take over. And congratulations, you're now a small business owner. You've just founded a company. And as a founder of a small business, you get it all. You get to call all the shots. You get to make all the decisions. And suddenly, as Michael talks about, in this entrepreneurial seizure, you begin to discover many of the things that you had no idea were really going on behind the scenes. That's part of the illusion of entrepreneurship. So what is the perception on the outside in the community of the entrepreneur? Do most people see what really happens in an entrepreneur's life? They don't. They don't have any idea. They see what's portrayed in the media many times. And for a lot of small business founders, you know, we're taught we've got to put up our guard, we've got to put a big smile on, and we've got to make it look as though everything is just rock solid at our company. Even when we may have a few brush fires going, or perhaps we may even be handling some five-alarm blazes in our business. Some folks find that cash flow can be a challenge. Some are trying to figure out what the customer wants. Some are trying to figure out what to actually deliver to the customer. What's the perception of the entrepreneur's life? Sadly, in America, there has been an ongoing theme that the founders of companies generally live a great life, have little or no stress, take advantage of their employees, smoke cigars, and travel the world. That's a nice picture, just doesn't happen to be anywhere close to true. Most of the time, the founders of companies face challenges every single day. And worse yet, their families have to deal with the impact of those challenges. At Patriot Mission, we have a liberty principle, our first liberty principle, that says this. We believe the economic backbone of America is powered by the leadership of small business founders, employees, and their families. It's leadership and it's teamwork that makes small companies work, even if it's a single person operation. Because if you own a single person operation, you're still dealing with other people. You never operate by yourself. So it is this leadership and the service to your clients, the service to your community, and most importantly, the service to your family and those who work for you and depend on you that matters. How do we define a founder? What is a founder of a small company? See if this rings true for you. You lead a small business venture. It's likely you were the original owner, or you may have bought the business to grow and expand. Your time and resources are limited. You want to find creative ways to help the country while promoting your business to a local, regional, and perhaps national audience. Increasing company income, profit, and equity are your primary motivators. So the question that we're left with is, how does the founder of a small business work together in the community, in their organization, within their family, to serve the community, to build revenue, and to actually have a little bit of fun, and do it in a way that it lifts up their family, it lifts up the community, it lifts up everybody that they serve, and at the end of the day, becomes an exemplar for other entrepreneurs, other individuals who want to become apprentices and learn what it really means to build a world-class small business, even if that's you operating a single-person operated company. So when we come back from the break, we're going to drill down into how we serve those small businesses in the community. How do we begin to lift them up? How do we begin to celebrate National Small Business Week, but not just one week at a time, but around the year, so that our people who are operating small companies can feel good about what they do, and most importantly, their employees and the families of everybody involved can begin to understand what's really happening here and that there is a community that cares about them and wants to help them succeed. Stay tuned.
Making America Strong Again is brought to you by Patriot Mission. To learn more about national restoration, get free resources at www.makingamericastrongagain.com.
Hi, this is Kelly Fisher, a supporter of the Making America Strong Again mission and your local real estate professional here on the Treasure Coast. It has been my honor to serve our community here in Vero Beach since 2003, and with over 1,500 home sales over the past 21 years, it's my hope that you will consider the Kelly Fisher team at Treasure Coast Sotheby's International Realty for all your real estate needs. It's also our desire that every family has a home and every home has a family, and we have partnered with the Homeless Family Center of Vero Beach to work toward that goal. When you buy or sell a home with the Kelly Fisher team, we will make a substantial contribution toward alleviating homelessness in our hometown. To be a part of this great mission, please call us at 772-321-6905.
This is Mark from Ask the Hair Guy, and Mother's Day is close at hand. This weekend, as a matter of fact. Don't forget to treat the one you love to a March at the Point Salon and Boutique gift certificate. Gentlemen, make your life easy. Log on to marchatthepoint.com. We'll make it up, make it cute, and you just come in, pay for it, pick it up, and take it on your way. March at the Point Salon and Boutique, 46 Royal Palm Point, 772-492-8900, 492-8900, or askthehairguy.com.
At Surf Pro of Vero Beach, no job is too big and no question is too small. So when fire, water, or mold damage strikes your home or business, call on Surf Pro of Vero Beach at 772-770-0501. That's where you'll find a team of specialists that's faster to any size disaster. So when the things that matter most are on the line, make sure Surf Pro of Vero Beach is too by calling 772-770-0501. That's Surf Pro of Vero Beach, helping make fire, water, and mold damage like it never, ever happened. Franchises are independently owned and operated.
Welcome back to Making America Strong Again, the program dedicated to inspire you and to inspire a nation with stories of American exceptionalism and national restoration. Once again, here's your host, Steve Olds.
So in our first segment, we talked about National Small Business Week, the fun part about celebrating small business, the idea of starting one, and what it takes to really kick it off. We talked about the fact that a lot of folks just simply have an idea, something that they already do, and they just decide they want to go to work for themselves. We also have people that are inspired to do big things and to grow a company and everything in between. Now, as a community, our success is built around the idea of a growing, expanding economy in service to the people who live where we are. How does that work? How do we make that happen? Well, one of the ways that we can do that is by celebrating what's good about those in our community. As I said earlier, it's easy to point fingers when things aren't working so well, but here's an alternative strategy. And that's, well, let's focus on the things that are working well and leverage those people who are doing a great job so that we can mentor those who want to learn. And it's amazing what happens. Have you ever been in an environment where there are people who are optimistic about the future, who want to serve others, who want to help, who want to develop new ideas? Doesn't matter what the climate is or what industry. When that happens, people tend to have smiles on their faces. Things tend to work a little better, as opposed to an environment where everybody's always nitpicking, they're complaining about what's going on, they're always talking about what's wrong with the scenario. Where would you rather be? Well, the challenge with operating a small business, especially if you're one of the 72% that are operating it by yourself, is that you don't have anybody around you many times looking for what's good in what you're doing and offering a way for you to learn from others who want to do and want to help you improve what you're doing. So we created a program called Celebrate America Now. And part of that opportunity is to lift up small businesses in a community. But that doesn't happen overnight. This isn't a one-time scenario where you can simply clap your hands, have a celebration, and everything is all right tomorrow. The reality is tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day are as important as today. So we had to look at a way that we could come into a community with people who are already here and help people begin to connect with those that are operating small companies. Now, depending on where you live, there can be tens of thousands of small businesses that nobody sees because they're operated out of their home. And their impact could be on the phone, it could be on the internet, it could be in the service industry. It really just depends. So part of the strategy is, let's find a way to recognize those existing small companies who are doing a great job. Let's tell their stories and let's help them share with the community those things that they've learned the hard way. Perhaps they've learned from other experienced people in a mentoring relationship. So we begin a process where we, over the course of 6 months, work with existing companies who want to sponsor this celebration, who want to share what they've learned, who want to pay it forward in their community. The challenge is when they're running an operating company, there's very little time to spare. So part of what has to happen is we've got to get creative about how we do that. So when we pull together resources and we pull together people who love the idea of lifting up the community, we can then tap into the mentoring messages that they have. We can begin to tell stories about the small companies in ways that the founders and their employees and most likely their families would never tell. Because most entrepreneurs and most founders of small companies aren't used to patting themselves on the back. And while humility is important, it's also important that people in the community, and especially those for whom you serve, whether that is your employee or your consumer or perhaps your vendor, they need to know the good things that are going on in your world. It's a lot easier to tell that story from a third-party perspective. Now imagine, as people are beginning to hear stories in a community through lots of different ways, through the airwaves, through print, through fun events, they also begin to encourage people who want to pursue entrepreneurship to begin to engage and learn what that's all about, to begin to tell stories, to begin to share with those who could be mentors why it is that they'd like to pursue a small business. Or perhaps they've just launched a small company and they want to tell their story. They want to get inspired and get feedback. So part of this process of celebrating small business is engaging people, especially in video, where they can tell their stories in a short couple of sentences, and by giving them an incentive to share those stories. That's also part about celebrating small business over the course of a six-month process. Now, what happens after that? We begin to pull those stories together in a community and plan for a celebratory event so that those who are mentoring, those who have experience, those who are celebrating the growth of a company, perhaps the growth of their employees, etc., can come together with those who really want to learn and for the first time be able to connect, because it's likely that they don't run in the same circles. And we come together as a community where we start to tell those stories in a fun event that we call Celebrate Small Business. It becomes a crescendo after 6 months of telling stories and hearing from people that are passionate, and also recognizing those who are working really hard, who would love to tap into existing resources in the community, many of which they just didn't know even existed. So that's part of pulling it together. Now imagine what happens in your community when those things begin to happen simultaneously. Existing companies share what they've learned and are recognized for their service to the country and to the local community. And those who want to pursue begin to feel confident that somebody cares about their dream and wants to help them. And then you add to that the people who are working really hard, and especially their employees and their families get a chance to come together with people who know what it's like, who have persevered, who have been through the fire, who want to help them. And done in such a way that nobody gets put off. In other words, if people want to engage, people want to be part of inspiring their local community and sharing with their fellow entrepreneurs what it's really like, they can do it. They can do it without judgment. They can do it without the pain that comes from realizing that I don't know everything, which is one of those things that entrepreneurs typically find out. And it's better to know that up front. You can't possibly know everything. Nobody can operate as an island. So over time, imagine not only in your community, but in the community across the county and the community across the state, in hundreds and thousands of communities across America, we start to see celebrations take place. We start to see entrepreneurs sharing with others, start to see all those places where great organizations are already trying to find ways to connect with people and share what they know. A lot of great collaborative organizations, great nonprofit organizations, foundations that are now spending a lot of time and effort and energy attempting to incubate new companies, educational institutions. Imagine pulling them all together in such a way that now we begin to see what America really looks like, what it takes to make America strong again. All of us working together with an idea that we can succeed, with a commitment to the entrepreneurs, the families, and the employees of everybody involved to have a great time, to pursue a profit, because it's okay to be profitable.
Making
and together,
America strong again,
we'll succeed.
Is brought to you by Patriot Mission. To learn more about National Restoration, get free resources at www.makingamericastrongagain.com.